So, good morning. This week we continue our series of the I Am sayings of Jesus, as Jesus explains who he is and what he is about. So we began our series with God telling Moses that he is I Am. Then we looked at Jesus' sayings, I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world. And today we're thinking about Jesus saying, I am the gate. The same passage also talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, and we'll look at that next week. At first glance, it seems easier to think of Jesus as a good shepherd rather than as an inanimate object like a gate. But a gate has a very important job to do. It can both open and close. It opens to allow access in and out, and closes to provide safety and protection. If you have to climb into a sheepfold over the fence and don't enter through the gate, you're highly likely to be doing something that you shouldn't be. But if you use the gate, you're probably doing something that you should. The sheep know the voice of the gatekeeper because they've learned to trust him or her, and therefore they will follow him. John the author interrupts the flow of Jesus' words at this point, saying that the people he was speaking to didn't understand him. Jesus used images that people of his day were familiar with. They would have been used to seeing shepherds lying across the entrances of sheepfolds to keep the sheep safe at night, and therefore literally be in the gate. So Jesus doesn't give up on his explanation. He carries on. I am the gate, and if you enter by me, you will be saved and safe, because I came that you may have abundant life. The opposite is true of the thief, who has to get into the sheepfold over the wall. He is not bringing life in abundance. Rather, he is coming to steal and destroy. At night, the gate keeps the sheep safe from predators. But in the day, the gate is open for the sheep to go out to find green pastures or nourishment. The gate and the shepherd work in tandem. The gate guards and protects. The shepherd provides nourishment. Last week, Alan spoke about a man who was blind from birth and who Jesus healed. The story comes directly before we read Jesus, where he says, I am the gate. This isn't a coincidence, and theologians have pointed out that there are connections between the passages which we might today not find immediately obvious. The Pharisees, or the religious leaders, are supposed to be the shepherds of Israel. They're supposed to be caring, protecting, and nourishing the people. But those who should have been shepherds, looking after the people, have just expelled a vulnerable, previously blind man from their community, simply because they're unwilling to accept that his healing was God working through Jesus. Protecting their authority and power is more important to them than anything else. Caring, protecting, and nourishing his sheep is the most important thing to Jesus. So Jesus actively seeks out the man who's been expelled from the synagogue and gathers him into his community of followers. And in this way, the blind man receives both physical and spiritual sight. He followed Jesus' voice, even though he couldn't see him, and in the process found new life. So the last line of today's reading is, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So how do we live this abundant new life? And what is the abundance that Christ gives? Firstly, I think it's crucially important to say that when you think about a gate being shut, you may think about being cosy inside whilst others are shut outside, which could then lead you to thinking that the gate excludes. But this would be a huge misunderstanding of who Jesus is. Remember, Jesus sought out the formerly blind man specifically to include him when he was excluded. Jesus did not come to exclude. He came for us all because God so loved the world, the whole world. If we think of ourselves as Jesus's followers and others as outsiders, we become like the Pharisees. Christianity is not a club with a closed membership, and nor should the church be. Jesus continues in verse 16, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." God is drawing us into his amazing love. The abundant life is about connecting with God and letting it transform us. It's about quality, not quantity. It's about a deep meaning and purpose to life, creativity, relationship, and wholeness. The abundant life adds to the life of others rather than diminishing others. It's a life that leads to a fuller life. It's joy that leads to contentment, hope that leads to meaning and purpose, kindness that leads to action, generosity that leads to sharing, beauty that leads to appreciating all that God has made, and gratitude that leads to humility. The abundant life doesn't add to the pain of the world. Jesus warns us not to allow our abundance to be diminished. Each of us will be susceptible to having our abundance depleted by different things. Our insecurities may cause us to compare ourselves to others. We may be proud, complacent, inappropriately driven, or simply benefit too much from the status quo. Perhaps we choose destructive behaviours, hold on to resentments or anger, or we're simply afraid. We are the gatekeepers of our own lives. We need to guard our hearts by being aware of what's going on inside us as well as outside us. Sometimes we need to open the gate and sometimes we don't. How do we know which? By praying, keeping times of intentional silence, noticing when our heart sings and our spirits lifts, reading the Bible, or being in places or with people who encourage and support us. Whether we are one or 100, Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Go well.